Again, we'll be in Psalm 23, looking at the last statement of verse 5. My cup runneth over. We've seen that this, of course, is as David recollects what he's said thus far, looking back on these particular experiences in his life, this is what he says, my cup runneth over. In other words, had an effect upon him. We've seen that the words, of course, imply that there was a sense of God's blessing upon him. We must never lose our sense of God's blessings upon us, because if we do, that leads to a lot of bad things. So that there's a sense of God's blessings. And this also is indicative, these words, my cup runneth over, of his response to God in view of who God is, in view of God's blessings. And we really can't appreciate the blessings of God until we know something of the person of God and we know something of our own depravity. We need to view God's blessings in those lights. But the response to God, my cup runneth over, our cups ought to run over with humility, first of all. And again, that's realizing who he is, realizing who we are. The second thing we saw would be contentment. Our cups ought to run over with contentment. Contentment with God, not contentment where we are spiritually, because we can always be closer to God, and that should always be our striving. But there needs to be a contentment, a satisfaction with God. Again, he expresses that in the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's content. He's content with the Lord being a shepherd. I shall not want any other. There's no need, because I'm satisfied with my shepherd. Our cups ought to overflow with joy, of course. And again, these all go together. Gratitude, we saw last week, wonder. So we have a sense of God's blessings. It fills our hearts with humility. We are satisfied with God. We're not satisfied with ourselves, but we are satisfied with God. Our hearts are overflowing with joy, gratitude, and wonder. And that leads right into the next thing we want to consider, a heart overflowing with praise. Where you have the things that we've just mentioned, there will be praise. The reason there's so little praise is because there's a lack in these other things. There's a lack in the realization of God's blessing, and humility and so on. So what is praise? In the religious world, what they consider praise is anything but. We have praise teams, praise time. Praise times would be wonderful if that's what it was. But again, much of what is referred to as praise today is foreign to the Bible. So what is praise? Well, praise is an expression. It's something we express. So it requires the heart. It requires something within. And we've already mentioned the things that should be within which lead us to this praise. It is the expression of the wonder, the amazement, and the awe that we have of God. You cannot praise God if you're ignorant of who He is. Because if you're ignorant of who He is, there is not that wonder, there is not that amazement, there's not that awe. So you can't express that. Praise is about God, it's not about us. Again, it's an expression of our wonder, our amazement, our awe of His person. The more we know of Him, the more amazed we are, the more in awe we are. It is the expression of admiration. Again, you cannot praise God if you're ignorant of God. You cannot admire what you do not know, what you're ignorant of. It's the expression of an admiration. That admiration is within us. It's an expression of adoration or love, our love to God. We mentioned thankfulness. It's an expression of thankfulness. It's an expression of devotion toward God. But it is an expression to God. It's not praise if it's not to God. It is an expression to God. And it must align with Scripture. It must align with that which is spiritual. It is the expression of a desire. Of a desire toward God. Of a desire to glorify God. If it doesn't glorify God, it's not praise. If it doesn't magnify and honor God, it's not praise. And much of what is considered praise today is nothing but carnality. And carnality does not glorify God, does not exalt Him, does not magnify Him. It's not about us feeling good. True praise, you do feel good, but that's not what it's about. It's about Him. So praise, and this is why I have a real problem with, again, people, Baptist in particular, our kind of Baptist in particular, who do not make a distinction between emotion and emotionalism. Two entirely different things. You can't worship God without emotion. You take emotion out of it, it's not worship. It's not praise. And people have failed to make that. We're against emotionalism. Emotionalism is all about show. I'm going to cry now because it'll look good. I'm going to raise my hand, whatever, because, you know, and it's all mechanical. That's emotionalism. But emotion is what we feel at the moment. And praise is the expression of emotion. And praise to God involves deep emotion. It involves deep emotion. But this whole concept, erroneous concept, that, you know, because we're against emotionalism, we're against all emotion. Well, worship, so-called worship services have become robotic. That's all they are. There's no emotion. Praise involves emotion, deep emotion. It is an emotional response. But again, the important thing is it's an emotional response to God. We've said this many times. People said David was always crying, but he cried to the right person. He cried to God. Big difference. Big difference crying and whining and moaning and groaning to people and to God. It's an emotional response to God. So since it is a response to God, there has to be a connection to God. If there is no connection, there is no praise. If there is no praise, there is no worship. Praise is an element, a key element in worship. So it's an emotional response to God, conveying the idea of jubilation, an exuberance. It involves a conscious awareness of God. Again, it's not carnal. There's an awareness of God. And if you have an awareness of God, there will be emotion. Believe me, if there's no emotion, you have no awareness of God. An awareness of God produces emotion. Involves a heart united and connected to God. And it is a heart that is drawing near to God. In praise, we are drawing near to God. You have to be near to God to praise, but as you praise, you draw even closer to the Lord. If so-called worship does not draw us closer to God, you haven't worshiped. Just mark it down. You haven't worshiped. And you can blame it on whatever you want. But it doesn't change the fact that you haven't worshiped. If it does not draw us closer to the Lord. So praise is the outpouring. My cup runneth over. It can only get so full and it overflows. It has to go somewhere. And praise is the outpouring. It is the outpouring of a soul that is at peace with God. It is the outpouring of a soul that has a conscious realization of the presence of God. It is the outpouring of an attributing worth to God. It is like in Revelation chapter 5, thou art worthy. It is expressing the worth of God, which of course flows from a reverence to God. The expression of affection to God. It's basically praise is basically a celebration. It's a celebration of God. A celebration of who He is. A celebration of what He's done. Well, I just don't feel up to it today. Well, then you've got a problem. It is a celebration of God. It is a word that the word praise occurs 248 times in the Word of God. 160 times, so that's more than half, in the Psalms, which of course are songs used in worship. And there are entire Psalms that are about praise. There are entire psalms of praise. And if you read those psalms, and we're going to look at some of them, you begin to learn some things about praise. Notice in Psalm 135, this is a song, a psalm of praise. Again, our hearts, if we live the Psalm 23 life, our hearts are going to overflow with praise. There's going to be spontaneous praise. No one's got to tell us, okay, now is the time to praise God. There will be spontaneous praise to the Lord. On any given day, unless you're comatose in a hospital, there ought to be times of spontaneous praise to God. And if there isn't, we've mislived our day. But in Psalm 135, he says, "Praise ye the Lord." And you'll notice in the Psalms of praise, there's a repetition. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. Now, I see three things there. Praise ye the Lord. That just praise God. Praise ye the name of the Lord. The name of God throughout Scripture is his attributes. It's who he is. Praise him for who he is. You might be having a miserable day. And I got news for you. A lot of that could be your own fault. But that's beside the point. Doesn't change the Lord. Your miserable day does not change who he is. Praise ye the name of the Lord. And then it says, praise him, O ye servants of the Lord. That puts us in our position. And that's true praise involves that. We have to take our proper position. In verse 3, praise the Lord. For the Lord is good. Nothing in your day changes that. Nothing in your day changes the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name. Again, it's directed to God. Why? For it's pleasant. It's pleasant to him. It pleases him. Praise the Lord. So if it pleases God when we praise the Lord, if it's a pleasant thing to him, then the opposite is true as well. When we fail to praise him, it's displeasing to God. And he goes on and he says, for the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself. Again, there's nothing good in Jacob. And Israel for his peculiar treasure. Praise the Lord. For I know that the Lord is great and he is above all gods. Nothing in your day changes that. Praise the Lord. And then you go on and you see the rest of the psalm is about what God has done. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and earth, in the seas and all deep places. In other words, he's sovereign. Praise the Lord. Verse 7, he causeth. He causeth. Speaks of his rule over nature. Verse 8, who smote? Notice it's all about what God has done. Who smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast. He's victorious. Who sent tokens and wonders? Who smote? And verse 12, he gave. In verse 16, or verse 19, bless the Lord. That's praise the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron. Bless the Lord, O house of Levi. Ye that fear the Lord, bless the Lord. It requires reverence. It requires fear of God. Blessed be the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. It ends. So it's a psalm all about praise. And as we live the Psalm 123 life, our hearts ought to overflow with praise. If our hearts do not overflow with praise, again, you can blame it on whatever you want, but you're going to be wrong. The truth is this. If our hearts do not overflow with praise, God has not changed. Something's wrong with us. Something is terribly wrong with us. Well, you don't understand. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. We're talking about praising the Lord. The events of our day should not affect that. Because events of our day does not affect who He is. Psalm 146, He opens again, praise ye the Lord. And again, it's repeated. Praise the Lord, O my soul. It's deep. It comes from deep within. And he makes this determination. While I live, I will praise the Lord. No stipulations, no conditions. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto God, unto my God, while I have any being. Why didn't he just say, while I have been? While I have any being. In other words, whatever the conditions. As long as I have breath, I will praise the Lord. And we can go on and Psalm 147, Psalm 148, Psalm 149, Psalm 150. All are psalms of praise. But those who live the Psalm 23 life will not be without praise. You cannot live that life and not come to this point. My cup overfloweth. My cup overfloweth with praise. It's the result of living a particular life. Praise to God. Praise to God is a wonderful testimony. It's a wonderful, wonderful testimony to the world when we praise the Lord, and we should never, ever be ashamed to spontaneously praise the Lord. I don't care whose company we might be in, we should never be ashamed. We should never be hesitant to praise the Lord. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. We thank you, Lord, for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for your word, the privilege that we have in this country to have the word of God in our life. And we just thank you for that. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to live this life that is described in Psalm 23, that it would not be foreign to us, nor that you would cause our souls to overflow with praise to thy name. We pray now that you would meet with us. Lord, that you draw our hearts close to thee, that we would go from here praising your name. Lord, for those that are lost, we pray that you would speak to their hearts and open their hearts to salvation. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.